Hey guys, before we get started with Combat Knight, Mitchell Chamali, guys, stay safe out there, stay home. I know everyone is going through this, and we're going to go through this with you together here with the Fight Bananas podcast. And also, I just want a really quick shout out all of our sponsors. They've all stayed with us. These are hard times for everybody, and when they stick with us, we are sticking with them 10 times fold. Fusion CBD products, Mako Tech mouth guards, and still nutrition, and of course, Warhammer Fightwear. So guys, shop local. I know it's hard for everyone, but let's give it back to who gives it to us. Warhammer Fightwear, Fusion CBD products, Mako Tech mouth guards, and still nutrition. All right, guys, let's go bananas with Mitchell Chamali. All right, guys, I'm sorry I didn't hit the record button. We've been recording for 3.5 hours with Mitchell Chamali, so let's do it all over again. You ready, Mitchell?
I'm going to do my best, man.
Oh, my goodness. How are you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Yeah, first and foremost, how are you doing? How's the family, the coronavirus and the effects, you know, nationwide, shutting everything down? So, you know, how are you guys getting through this?
Oh, man, we're actually doing pretty good. We're kind of in the middle area for all of this. I think we're in the gray area ourselves. You know, we're not we don't think it's something just to laugh at and go party about. And we don't think that it is something that you should lock yourself in your closet about. So we're just kind of going about life as normal. You know, we go to the grocery store. We don't like going to the grocery store anyway. So we go one time, we get everything we need, and, you know, we hang out, go on little nature walks, and play outside, fill the pool up with water, and, you know, we do what we do, man. How about yourself? How's the family?
Man, we're doing really good. First and foremost, you know this with, you know, newborn twins. We have both boys here, and life is super busy. You know, the job, and then the podcast, and then just every life. And it's so funny. We talked about it. We go on a 6 o'clock walk for the last 10 days. It's been the best, you know, all we can think of is this walk. It gets us through. It's the best thing ever. And it's like so funny. It's like all you think is a walk, but that's what really gets us going. And it's like you kind of lose these little things day to day. It gets so crazy with multiple kids. It's, you know, we're picking what birthday party to go to, and then what, you know, the weekends fly by. We got to, you know, take our son to the newest movie, and then boom, next thing you know, it's Sunday at 10, and then you get in the rat race of the week. And now, man, it's been pretty cool, man, just really chilling at home, really diving all in with our the kids. The girls are growing each day. It's unbelievable. And our 2.5-year-old, man, like, we're teaching him things to do here, boxes and squares and hot and cold. It's awesome, man. We're to be really honest, I'm really enjoying the family time. I really am.
Oh, that's dope, man. That's good. I know you're a busy guy, like you were saying, all the business and stuff. I myself am, too, and yeah, just like you said, it's good to get a little extra time in with the family.
Right, right. And then, of course, I'm not going to lie either. It's the podcast for the last 10 days. We've been very blessed and very lucky and grateful. You know, we had some really strong ones. Dean Thomas, Charles Rosa, Phil Rowe, Hannah Goldie. And our numbers the last 10 days have just, like, you know, 4 or 5 times that we usually do. You know, hey, we're giving the world content, especially our mixed martial arts community here in Florida. We're giving them content because there's no fights to go see or go see. So it's a, it's a, right. We're turning the negatives into positives here over here, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, we started a whole Combat Knight OG tournament just to, you know, create some content and, get the fighters some, you know, some reasons to get a little bit of a following and, you know, distract people. It's good to have that distraction. All you see on the news is coronavirus pandemic, freak you out, you know, so it's good to have these little distractions with podcasts and things that, we're familiar with, you know, MMA and that kind of stuff.
Oh, for sure. Of course, you know, we Jacksonville, the whole Duval, we'll definitely get into that, but you just mentioned something that I definitely want to jump in with. This is, Combat Knight OG tournaments. For one, I love the idea. Brilliant idea. You know, you and I talked about us going on right now. We have the best UFC fight ever bracket. We started with 64. We're actually down to the Sweet 16. Same thing, just something to keep us going. You know, a lot of people getting involved. Actually, more fighters are kind of putting in their input than I thought, which is awesome. I love it. You know, I really do. So, for one, how'd you come up with the idea? Two is, were you concerned at all that you would, you know, put fighters against each other that maybe you wouldn't want to in a way to kind of, hey, vote for me, not vote for me, that kind of thing? Were you worried at all? It's like, nah, man, it's all in good fun where it's all about voting and just kind of creating content and keeping names out there. Like Naomi Young, I voted for her today, you know what I mean? So just kind of sprucing stuff up.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't concerned at all, man. Everybody that's on our roster is like family. All the fighters we work with and that, are with us. I mean, you know, they're family. I mean, we put, you know, I purposely put people like J-Mac versus Aaron Walker. I could have put them with somebody else,
right.
You know, that's just, if I'm being honest, you know, I purposely did those things. I purposely put Sock and Ralph with each other. I thought it'd be funny. I mean, so
the Rock and Sock connection, man.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, these are the guys that I've trained with. Everyone in this, I think everyone in this tournament, I would say 90% of the people, probably 95% of the people in this tournament, I punched in the face.
I love that.
Yeah, you know, so if I can punch them in the face, I can have a little fun too, you know.
Oh, for sure. And then I'm going to go with that right there. You just said you just punched a lot of the, you know, the fighters that fight for you. You train with, roll with, you know, punch. You get better. They get better. She gets better. How is that? Is that does that make it more intimate, do you think? Do you think you have a stronger bond with some of the fighters because of that? Because they're like, shit, dude, if Mitchell can roll with me, if Mitchell's sweating in here in the gym doing all the things I'm doing, you know, you think you get a respect factor, a mutual respect with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. A lot of guys, it's a little more well-known now, but 4 or 5 years ago when I wasn't so active on the Combat Night social media and I wasn't I was still going out when I was training people, but I wasn't training necessarily with as many people as I have in the past like 3 or 4 years. It was funny, man. People used to they would spar with me. I'd go maybe to the jungle or something. I'd go to different places and you see these guys kind of taking it easy or, you know, finishing these. And I want to let them know, like, no, man, we're here to spar. Like, I'm here to get some work. Start touching them. And they're like, oh, shit. Okay. You know, even as recent as I was in Duval training, you know, and a lot of these training sessions are a little rough on me now because I've been driving for, 4 to 6 hours.
Right, right.
I go to another town, a bunch of, you know, young savages that are in fight camp. I'm not in fight camp. I train all the time, but I'm not in fight camp. And it was Reggie Mack, Preston Parsons, Kuba Kasuba, the Caveman, Corey Taylor, what's his name? Meticulous, Devin Polk. Man, it was just like 8 or 9 dudes that were all 155, 170.
Wow.
They were all like savages.
Right, right.
And at the end of the session, like the last round or two, like I don't take rounds off either. Like that's a big thing about me. Like I don't like taking rounds off. I want to go every round. You know, it's just I don't like taking breaks. And Reggie Mack goes, man, I didn't realize you'd get down like that. I didn't realize you throw down like that. Something along those lines. And I was like, what you mean, bro? I was like, you didn't know I train and I spar like I get, you know, I fight or whatever. And he started laughing. Like, I mean, no, I knew you trained. I just didn't realize you like train. Like it was almost like he was surprised that I was like, I was sparring with everybody. It was,
right.
It was just funny.
Right. Right.
Somebody who's, you know, he has the most fights in Combat Night history and even him. So it's people still, you know, it's a little different, I think, for people to be able to punch their promoter in the face or whatever. So I think it does add a little bit to the, to the sauce.
It's
feel more connected. And for us too, it helps me with matchmaking too. You know, I don't always pull the card, but you know, there's times where Richard and me were talking about matchups. I'm like, oh man, I don't know. I don't think he did. Like that's a good fight to match, you know, for whatever reason, cause I've trained with both guys. And I would never go and tell a guy, oh, so-and-so does this or so-and-so does that. But when me and Richard talk about matchups and we're putting fights together, it gives me a little extra like insight on the fight because it's like, oh, that's going to be a great fight because,
right,
you know, both those guys got great stand up or stylistically speaking, like that's just an amazing fight. So it does, it adds a lot to, I think, the fighter, the respect between us, but also just the knowledge in general.
For sure. For sure. That makes perfect sense. For the last 6 minutes, I got to pick up all those names you were just dropping with all these fighters. Man, I love me some Reggie Mack. He's one of my favorites for sure. No, it's all good, my man. Okay, so that's a fun question I want to have with you. And, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know you're very, you know, straightforward. You're very blunt. And so I got kind of two questions with all your combat night fighters, right? If you put all these guys in a big circle.
I know you're going to ask me.
For one, right now, if you had to say, you know, it's 2020, we're in this corona thing in April, and 2022, the UFC is main event in the ESPN's Plus show. What fighter underneath your combat night, you know, umbrella that you would say, him or her, this person would be main event in Washington, D.C. in 2022. Who's that it? Who's that sauce? Who's that star? Maybe not the best fighter. Maybe it's not the 14-0 person, but maybe that sauce. Who's that, him or her?
I think we've got a couple of fighters that have that. I think if we're talking main event, you know, on the largest stage of the world, I don't think we're talking about the UFC. I think we got to jump over to ONE Championship.
Okay.
Talk about
okay.
Troy Worthen, yes, fighting for the main event for a world title in a ONE Championship. I don't think, you know, they're literally billions of homes. I love the UFC. I love ONE Championship, you know, PFL, all the things these things are doing for the sport. But I think that what you just asked me, is ONE Championship. It's Troy Worthen fighting for a world title, and it might even be before 2022.
Wow. Okay, how about someone that's fighting for combat night right now? Maybe last week, this year, you know, in the last 6 to 8 months, someone that's in the combat night roster, who you think maybe 3 years from now will be a main eventer? For ONE, for PFL, for Bellator.
All right. There's going to be like 3 or 4, man, because we got so many markets, and it's hard to just pick
for
one.
For sure. Give it.
Now, this isn't just talent, because I think talented fighters, I think we have probably like 10 to 15 that'll be up there and it'll be real successful. But as far as that it factor, I'm talking about people who have like a special thing, like they're really good on the mic, they're really good looking, or they're athletic, they're technical, they got the full package and some. A couple names pop out. One of those is Val Woodburn.
Oh, Val. Love that. Love that.
Yeah, man, he's Jamaican. You know, he's got that. I wish he would use his Jamaican like dialogue, or I don't know if it's dialogue. I'm not sure if it's a language or it's a dialogue or what it is, but his Jamaican accent. Like, I wish he would go into and talk Jamaican more. It's awesome to hear him when he's on the mic, and he's a good looking kid too. You know, I mean, he's in shape. Like, I think he could even go down maybe a nut if they do that 175 weight class. I think 175 is a really good spot for him.
Okay.
I think he
can
make it.
Right.
But he's one. He's also really violent, man. He has this, like, he has this switch. You know, he goes from being extremely charismatic and a smile on his face. Everyone, like, he's hugging people and he's like, you know, just a big kid. And then he literally gets in that cage, and it's like from complete amazing charismatic to like violent.
Right.
Just
right.
Killer.
Right.
And that's hard to do.
And real quick, before the next person, I got like 2 Val Woodburn stories. One, right. I just had Phil Rowe on the podcast 5-7 days ago, and he goes, Dave, love me some Bubba Sheffield and Val Woodburn. We're talking about Val, and he goes, you know what? He's probably 3 out of 10, you know, skill-like. And I'm like, really? And he goes, like, this is no disrespect. And he goes, I'll tell Val to his face, but he's so uber just talented, and his physical ability, he's so raw still. Like, he goes, Dave, give this kid 3 more years, he could be like untouchable. He could be like one of those Costa, and, or, you know, like a Yoel. Just like, he will just mow through people when he gets all these new techniques, and he keeps on learning from Julian Williams and Phil Rowe,
yeah,
and all the
he
other
will.
People
that's true. That's not a lie about 3 out of 10. That's the truth.
Right, right. So Phil threw that one. And then the second one is my personal Val Woodburn story. Probably 30 months ago, 36 months ago, when I put this on the podcast, when I talked to Val, he was fighting Robert Brothers for the Undisputed Promotions Heavyweight Championship of the World.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm 6 foot, 195 pounds. And they're at weigh-ins, and me and Val start talking, and I look down. You know what I mean? It's like you, me, at a, I'm a, I guess a normal size guy, you know, and Val is fighting for the heavyweight championship, and I'm like looking down at Val, and it's like, wait, you're fighting for the heavyweight championship? My man goes, yeah, I know I shouldn't be, but I'm here. I'm just getting, you know, I'm learning. I'm kind of, and I was like, dude, ever since that, I was like, oh, I like this kid. Like he knew that's where he shouldn't be, but it's a learning process of what's really the future goals for him. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. I mean, that's a, like Phil said, 3 out of 10, and he's eager to learn. He doesn't. He's very humble. It's those things that, you know, really make him special. Another one would be Shelby Corrin. She's just a, you know, she's a really good looking girl. She's got a little bit of an attitude, like, but like in a like a good way attitude. You know what I mean? Like she's not afraid to. Tell her opponents how it's going to be.
Right.
She's constantly improving. She's very humble too. She always, you know, she's trying to learn more. She's like put on some weight, which is good because she was walking at first. She was like walking at 118, 115. So, if, you know, and for females, the path to the top is a little bit quicker, especially if you're good looking.
Right, and I was just going to say that, like heavyweights and females, the UFC or other, you know, big promotions are begging for, mm-hmm. you know, legitimate skilled with, you know, microphone skills always help. A look always helps for sure. So,
yep.
you know, with Shelby being a female, like, you know, she could really make a really quick run, you know, contender series super quick, Invicta, and then boom, maybe to the big show. Yep. And literally in 12 months, it can be that quick for her.
Yeah, especially for women. And again, I think she's a total package. And man, trying to think top of my head, man, you know, Costo has all the technique and talent, which is Shelby's boyfriend, but he's a little bit laid back and chill. And I know UFC likes people that are a little more flamboyant, like loud and like, you know, have a bigger personality.
Right.
You know, and Ramon Tavares, he has a talent, a skill, and he has a good personality. He's charismatic. He's good on the mic. Yeah. Costa's good on the mic too. These young kids, man, you know, it's surprising. It's almost shocking to see how good they are to like speaking.
Right.
You
know, right.
It's not often you find MMA fighters that can speak as well as a lot of these guys.
Right. And everyone that you just said, Mitchell, have all been on the podcast before. And like, I, you know, I'm not to try to like bring that up, but it's, for them, for us, for a year ago and 15 months ago, it's like this learning process. I think I'm a better podcaster I am today in 2020 than I was at 2018. So for them, too, sure. The more time they get on shows, the more time they communicate, the more time they do little Instagram live videos, more time they kind of connect with people, they're only going to get better and better. Like you said, Tavares, man, I love that kid, too. The story is, you know, the UFC, once in a while, they like to play up to those stories. It's, you know, a roller coaster, a lot of lows in it, but super highs when he gets into the cage. That finish was just incredible, what he did in Duval just a couple of weeks ago. I promise we'll get into that. This is so much fun. I actually have one more kind of hypothetical question. I love these, talking to you about it. So we talked about right now. We talked about Troy Worthen, who's already over there at one. How about, can you throw me a fighter maybe – you know, maybe 2-3 years ago, and just say if we were having this podcast, you know, 3 years ago, you would say, like, Dave, this is the person that is like a can't-miss prospect, can communicate. I love her inside and outside the combatagon, and you just know that, you know, a savage in all terms necessary, but somehow it just didn't pan out. You know, maybe some stuff out of the game took them away. Maybe they just got around the wrong team or management, if I can say. Name, can you throw out a person or two that just you thought that would easily be UFC bound or one bound or championship bound that just never really panned out?
Man, a person or two, I could probably tell you 20 people like that.
Shit.
You know how many fighters and they have all the talent in the world, all the work ethic in the world, but they have two babies by the time they're 20, you know, or they have a girl that just doesn't support their dream, and, you know, they allow that to drag them down, and next thing you know, they're not training, or, oh, man, that's like such a common theme in the sport, man. It's kind of hard.
But okay, so it just happens more often than you would even like to see.
Yeah, it really does, man. Okay. It happens a lot. There's so many talented and like gifted athletes in the sport that could have really did something with it and haven't. They just stopped for whatever reason, or they slowed down, or, you know, some of it, it's, you know, they just chose to go a different route, which is cool. You know what I mean? Like, if you just decide that fighting's not for you and you want to do something else with it, you know, by all means. Like, I would never want someone to be involved in a sport if they don't want to be in a sport. I'll give you a good one. I'll give you a good example. There's a kid named Xavier Jimenez. This is a good reason. He was in Tallahassee. And this kid is a savage, man. He's actually in California right now. He's a male model. He models for Reebok. He models for the UFC. Maybe not UFC, but like Reebok's UFC line, you know?
Right, right, right.
And, man, he was a savage. He's one of our original OGs. Fought first couple of combat nights. He was like 4-0, 5-0 as an amateur. I mean, back before there was even ground and pound. I mean, this kid was good. And he was really, really young at the time in the sport. And, man, he moved to California. Actually, right before we did our, first pro event, he was moving to California, and we were kind of going back and forth about getting him a pro fight or him moving to California. He had some like stuff going on and like stuff he was pursuing. And I think it just kind of fell apart, man. We didn't make the fight happen. So we didn't think it was a professional fight. But fast forward to now, man, this kid's all over the place. He's inside of, you go into JCPenney's, you go into, you know, any of these places, and you'll see his face on the Reebok stuff. Every now and then you'll see me share a post of his. So and that it's not really a bad thing that he, you know, fighting anymore. But he was a kid that we thought, me and Josh both, he just had it. He had that it factor. He could speak well. He was a good looking kid. His name was Xavier Jimenez, and we called him X. And he always came out to X gonna give it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, you talk about a room getting electrified by this kid's walkout. It was just awesome, man. Like, yeah, he had the whole thing. He had a big fan following. He knew how to promote himself, which is probably why he's a successful model. You know, he understands how important that self-image is and being professional. But yeah, there's a good example for you.
Right.
Use a good example. That's a kid that would have definitely made it. He would be in the UFC right now, won a championship with Troy. You know, he'd be in one of the major organizations.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a great story. And then it's so funny, you always share, like, those male models. I just thought that was your thing. You like to share that on your IG stories. I didn't know it was, like, a one of your old fighters.
Come on.
Oh, my gosh, guys.
I'm good looking, but I ain't that good looking,
baby. Oh, man, we're talking with Mitchell Chamali, CEO, Combat Knight. Okay, let's get into it. There's two major, major talking points I want to get into. One, The Apprentice, and then Chorus. This talked about this Duval show. You said it 10 times on all your social media platforms, and I know like a lot of people were filming stuff, and you said it over and over again. It's one of my favorite lines in the English dictionary about how the captain goes down with the effed ship. My man, like, it's been 2-3 weeks. Put a bow on everything that happened. A roller coaster ride. Is there a story that you haven't told yet that the public hasn't seen? Was there a 2 a.m. phone call? Was there something? Was there a moment you're like, shit, this show is not happening. It's not going to happen. I'm going to try my hardest, but deep down I know it's not going to happen. And then it flipped. Just put a bow on Combat Knight Duval.
Story that had, I mean, man, there's so many. Honestly, it's really crazy. How many things happened in that, like, in that final week, and kind of how that mantra even, I don't even know how it popped in my head, man. Like, I was literally, I was waking up super early. I was going to bed super late because I was up late. Like, honestly, between reading pandemic literature and reading about coronavirus and trying to figure out, man, when are they going to make this new, you know, I saw in California, they just did this. Stuff's happening in California, you know, 4 to 5 days before it happens here, and, you know, trying to figure out the timing of stuff, and then conversations with everybody from the venue to local authorities to the state to other promoters to, you know, you name it. There were so many good stories, but I one that maybe hasn't been told is the Sunday before the event, I was at Pete Zachary's house. having a little barbecue, and Julian was there, Phil was there, everyone's there, and the state calls me. I mean, the state doesn't get paid to work on a Sunday.
Right. That's the story right there.
So I immediately, like, stomach drops. I'm like, oh, God. And I'm out here with guys who are supposed to be, they're fighting on the card. You know, I'm like, oh, this is going to be horrible. How do I stay at this party after, like, I take this phone call? Like, do I take it? Do I not take it? Well, I'm one of these guys that I don't want to think about it. I just want to hear what's going on, you know? So I'm like, ah, oh, fuck it. I'll take it. So I take the call, and it's Patrick, the executive director. And he's like, hey, just want to let you know, I'm meeting with the governor's office tomorrow at 11 a.m. And it's going to basically, you know, it's going to tell us if we can have your event or we cannot have your event, whatever. I wanted to go ahead and give you a heads up. They've already informed me that if you can't have your event, you won't be allowed to have more than 250 people there. Like, that's for sure a thing, right? This is the week before. This is, you know, social distancing is happening. But they tell me that I'll for sure be limited to 250 people. Another promotion, I got told the same thing. They ended up deciding to pull the plug. And I talked to him for like a good 20 minutes. Like, God, it's like, man, it's just not doable. Here's why. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, man. And like, I was trying to convince him to still do his show. And in a weird way, at the same time, I was like trying to tell myself that it was going to be okay. And I was still going to be able to have my show.
Right, like, right.
At this point, they're having there was like a boxing promotion or two that still had a show pending. And there was like two MMA shows that were pending. So I was like, I'm talking to this other guy. Patrick told me, sorry, like all the other promotions canceled. Like, they went ahead and canceled. And I was like, no, all of them? And he's like, yeah, you're the only one left. And
oh, goodness.
That, it just made me feel weird, like, you know, weird. So I call the other guy that I know, and I had a conversation with him, and he's like, no, I don't, you know, it's not going to be doable, man. And they're saying it's probably going to be no fans in the stands by the time the weekend hits. And he was like, and then I just drug everyone along for an extra week and then cancel it. And I was like, I got you. So that night I slept 1 hour, literally an hour. I was up till like 4 a.m. I laid in bed. I like 4 a.m. I lay down, and I'm like, all right, man, you gotta go to sleep.
Right, right.
Every 15 minutes, I'm looking at my clock. The last time I looked at my clock, it was like 4:50, 4:45, and then 6 o'clock, I'm up, waiting for this call from Patrick, and he called me, and he's like, man, I got bad news. And I was like, oh, shit, here we go. Like, I'm on no sleep. I feel sick to my stomach. And now Patrick's about to tell me bad news.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, all right, what's up, bro? He's like, you can have the event, but you can't have any fans in the stand. And I was like, Patrick, you son of a – I said, man, what's bad about that, bro? He's like, what? And I'm like, what's bad about that, bro? I was like, the governor's office just agreed to let us have our event. I was like, man, don't call me scaring me with that kind of shit again. And he was like, whoa. He's like, are you for real? And I was like, yeah, well, what do you mean am I for real? And he was like, I thought you'd want to cancel. And I was like, no, bro, I told you, like, I'm good as long as we are legally allowed to have the event. And there's the sound of Patrick's voice just cracked me up. It was like he couldn't believe that
right.
It wasn't bad news. But it was, honestly, at that time, it wasn't bad news to me. It wasn't. It was just like when he said it was bad news in my head, it was like, oh, I got to cancel the event. I got to tell these, you know, 40 people that were relying on me for paychecks and to perform and all these other things. Like, I got to tell them all that I couldn't, like, hold my end of the bargain. I couldn't keep the, you know, I couldn't keep the flame alive. But anyways, yeah, that's a good one that got me.
Wow.
24 hours of just freaking out, but.
There might not ever be anything like this again. Like, it's so crazy from afar. And I think I talked to you two or three times. And it was your birthday, too, that week, right? Coming up to the show.
I think Thursday. Thursday,
yeah.
I think, was my birthday.
I think I texted you happy birthday. And then, like, I think I talked to you a couple days out. And then I remember doing literally a podcast. My work canceled on, like, a Thursday or Friday. And I was just, like, by myself. So I go to the studio, and I'm just, like, shooting the shit. And, you know, I'm talking about UFC 249, you know, 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, man, it, you know, Dana says it's going to happen, blah, blah, and then at the end, I'm like, dude, guys, like, you know, support Combat Night. Like, this is it. This weekend, you know, you guys are throwing up the pay-per-view link everywhere, and this is, like, really right before ESPN took it and all that, and I was like, like, this is, like, insane. Like, this will never, literally a pandemic, now, like, to think about that, like, you know, in a weird way on April 5th, to think about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, you guys were running an MMA event right now. Like, it's like, it's earth shattering, that you guys did it. It's a huge, you know, feather in your cap. Like, it's insane. Like, you just have that, you know, on your gravestone. It's like, Mitchell Chamali, you know, husband, a great father. He ran the event during the coronavirus. Like, that's in there, man. Like, that's in the Wikipedia for you. It's just what a killer, insane job, my man. Just like, kudos to you, your whole team, and I know one thing you always do, and I love that, respect this so much about you. Anytime, like, anyone gives you a compliment, you're like, no, 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 you know, Richard and Ramsey, and there's like 22 other people that no one knows their name. They're, everyone's grinding back here. Like, you always, you know, like, push away compliments to give everyone else that love too. It's good, man. It's real good.
Yeah. I have a good team, man, and I had a lot of people that trusted in me for that one. So,
right.
While it was definitely the being held up by the support of all those people between the fighters, you know, even the fans were great during that time. They were all very understanding, and great team, great fighters, great fans. We love it.
Hell yeah! So hopefully that leads to this. Probably the last 5-6 days picked up a ton of steam, all your social media platforms, and a ton of your fighters, a ton of your friends and family have been all on this for you and pushing this for you, is the Apprentice Show, 4-1. And, you know, you and I talked a couple times about this off air. This is just tailor-made for you. Like, you know, some things, you know, I don't know. Someone says, hey, Dave, you can talk into a microphone and have decent hair. I'm like, yes, I was made for this. This is me. That's you, brother. This is all for you. You know, how important is this to you? Is this, do you feel the same thing that, yes, this is, I am groomed for this. The last decade of my life has been for this. You know, what's your 2 cents on everything that's happening right now with the Apprentice Show?
You know, it's funny. I guess they made the announcement about the show on like February 21st or something. I had an event February 22nd, obviously weigh-ins 21st. Then we had one on the 28th. Then we had the March 21st event and the pandemic. And I was just, you know, super like tunnel vision focused on, Combat Night. I'm like the worst MMA fan outside of like Combat Night, and people associated with Combat Night, you know, even for the UFC, like, people will ask me about a fighter and I'm like, who? I'm like, oh, let me go Google this person's name, you know? But this particular thing here, the Apprentice, I feel like it's something that is tailor made for me. I'm not, to be honest with you, it's not really, I'm not big on the money side of it. It's a big, prize you win. If you win the thing and you get in to work with Chatri for a year in Singapore. For me, I mean, if this is just an internship and I got to work with a guy like that, I feel like he has a lot of the holes filled that I would need to bring Combat Night to the next level. And I think that being able to work hand in hand with him, I'd learn a lot. And I don't even think that me winning the show per se is something that would have to happen. I just think working with Chatri and him seeing the way I am, I think we have a lot of similarities when it comes to business and how we feel about martial arts. And I think it would open up a lot of doors for those around me. I don't think it would open up doors for myself as well. I do. I believe it opened up doors for me, my family, the combat crew, and the fighters. So it's not – for me, it's like I want to do that for a lot of people. I want to be a part of that for a lot of reasons. And yeah, when they're talking about the toughest physical challenges that apprentices ever had, I'm not a fan of reality TV at all.
Right.
I don't think Chatri's a guy that's going to be involved with something that's going to have like, fake arguments and fake, you know, he's a very real person, and his morals and beliefs are very, a true martial artist, you know, honor, respect, integrity, that kind of stuff. So I don't think that it would be that type of show. So that kind of excites me too. And then, yeah, the physical challenges, like I train every day with these savages. And then the business aspect of it, well, you win a gig at one championship, so you need to know how to run events. I mean, just off that alone, I've dealt with 120 with multiple problems, and I'm one of only three promoters in the world that held a live MMA event during the coronavirus pandemic. So I think that kind of puts me up there as far as qualified. And I mean, I think it makes sense for me to be a part of that. But, you know, I get that it's TV, it's reality TV, and they're looking for certain, you know, holes to be filled. So I just hope that I'm one of those holes that they see, and they're like, oh, yeah, we need this. We need an American that runs events.
They might be like, hey, we need someone with facial hair. That's then your money.
Exactly. You know? Asians, apparently, I've been told by a lot of people that Asians are fans of beers.
There you go.
So
there you go.
There we go.
that's so crazy. One thing that you hit on there and that really jumped at me, just say it goes, you get on and you rub shoulders with you, and he's like, oh my, Mitchell, I love this. You are everything that I want, my right-hand man. This is, you know, I would love for you to stay here. Is this something that you would, you know, aspire to do long-term, you know, overseas? Or is it something that you're trying to get all this knowledge, get all these connections, and, you know, be the best person that you can be, and then come back here to Florida, you know, Tally and Orlando and everything here, and then just, you know, blossom it into Combat Night into, a Bellator or a one here. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Is that something you would want to do overseas for the next 20 years?
You know, it's for me, whenever I said what I, you know, it's an opportunity for everyone, including myself and my family. When I'm talking about myself, it's really about the growth and the ability to work side by side with a guy like Chatri. And I know that means being in Singapore. And I also think that's an element of growth, too, being able to operate your business from across the country. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of something I've come to grasp with. I've realized that winning this opportunity means me being in Singapore for at least a year, and that could turn into a lot longer. I'm cool with that. You know, that's growth.
Wow. Yeah.
Growth is being uncomfortable. Growth is getting out of your comfort zone. The Florida MMA scene, as much as I love it and as much as I enjoy it and would miss it, you know, I think that brings more opportunities whenever I come back, or I don't even have to come back. You know, I have, guys like Richard Cox and Ramsey White that, I mean, you know, they're definitely more than able to run Combat Night in my absence. And I can still do a lot of stuff on social media, all the Instagram, all of the live videos, and, you know, the connection with the fighters. You know, I talked to them. I probably talked to like 200 people a day, between all the messengers and everything and the training and all that kind of stuff. I can do most of that from Singapore. So, you know, it's something that will probably happen if I end up winning the opportunity, or if there ends up being some sort of opportunity to work with Chatri. I don't imagine that it's going to be me being in the U.S. I imagine it would be, you know, me being in Singapore.
Right.
And it would not be like the best transition. Most likely it'd probably be a really rough transition getting over there. But, that's what's in it for me. What's in it for me is being uncomfortable and having to grow and having to suffer a little bit, because, you know, pulling me away from my home in Florida and all my friends and family would definitely be suffering. And I think it would provide the opportunity to grow, though. And that's what's in it for me, man, is I want to grow as a businessman. I want to grow as a husband, and I want to grow as like a father. And I think, you know, being able to take my family across the world and experience new cultures and everything, I think that says a lot. And I think it would pay off in the long run, man.
Yeah, absolutely, my man. Absolutely. Dude, Mitchell, man, I appreciate your time always. You know, huge fan of you personally, huge fan of Combat Night. And it's kind of crazy. We are so close. We're, I think, an episode or two away, my man, from podcast number 200 underneath the Fight Bananas banner. On the 200th episode, we have someone who's a Combat Night OG, like you'd like to say, Jillian Robertson. She was on our first episode. She was on the 100th. It's only fitting. She'll be on number 200. It's going to be really good. We have a lot of fun stuff to talk about with Jillian. But yeah, I just really want to say thank you to you personally. And then a lot of these episodes, the 200, have been, you know, Coslow's and Val Woodburn's and a lot of people underneath the Combat Night umbrella. So I just want to say a big thank you. And yeah, man, we're here at 200, and I think I got another 4,000 in me. So I'm just getting started.
That's awesome, man. Well, you know, I'm very excited that you just hit number 200, but at the same time, you son of a, everyone makes fun of us for having too many. When are they gonna start making? Oh, what's this? You know, Fight Bananas episode 359. That's what I get. Oh, you're on Combat Night 1,453 now. You're way past us, bro, and in a shorter period of time.
I know, sure, and not even that. Here's like the stinker, and I really thought about this, and I'm happy I did it this way. So one thing that's been awesome about the podcast and what we've had with this platform, I hate saying that, you sound kind of so corny saying it, but for right now, right? Mm-hmm. It's been great. I always say that we're this oak tree, so I want to branch out. We've got branching out, so. 2 weeks ago, we got our own professional wrestling podcast underneath our banner. They're three episodes in. I got nice. Puma Star and Vince Anderson. They're doing a Bare Knuckle FC podcast underneath our banner. So we literally, and we got one more in the works. We're like right there to break that news. I'll talk to you off air about it.
Okay.
So we got like four podcasts now underneath our banner. We're literally going to have a podcast every single day, Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week. We're going to be like the chat. We're going to be like the news. Literally,
nice.
We're just dropping out content. You know,
people are going to want to listen to you.
Hey, you know.
A little different than the news, but.
That's very true. God damn, the news is horrible, right? Just horrible. I can't even watch it. And even the UFC news is horrible, too, lately.
Yeah.
I know, everything. But my main man, Mitchell, man, so much. Thank you for coming on. Yeah, a crazy, crazy, so 2020. Hopefully everything picks up for everyone and we get through this. Hopefully we talk to you after when does the apprentice, when would you know that you made it or when does that time frame?
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
He did a live video. He did a live video last night to answer questions about the apprentice, and he did an expert job at avoiding giving actual days or times of whenever that would be. And I think three people asked the same question, and he answered it different every single time managed to avoid.
That's a genius. That's a genius. You never put yourself in a corner. You just, when it happens, it happens.
Yeah. He also mentioned that he would like to see GSP on the show. That's the first name or video or person that I've heard affiliated with this where I was like, damn, that'd be a pretty tough dude to compete against. Everyone else, I've been like, nah, I'm good.
No facial hair, though. I think you got him. I think you got him.
I mean, I definitely got him, bro. I definitely got him. I'm not worried about him.
Oh, man. Well, Mitchell, stay home. Stay safe. You know, say hi to the family for us. And
for sure.
We'll talk to you very soon, man. Appreciate your time.
Hey, have a good one, man.
All right, brother. Bye.
See you.
All right, guys, there we go. That was Mitchell Chamali, the CEO of Combat Night. He's just doing major, major moves right now. The Apprentice show, the Duval show, and all the shows he had, but no, everything's on a pause. He's one person that I know when the world comes back, when we all get over this as a community, especially a mixed martial arts community, we know that Mitchell will hit the ground running. His team, Combat Night, will hit the ground running. Florida will boom again. And he's got so many stars. One person, he did mention J-Mac and Aaron Walker. J-Mac, a huge fan, and Naomi Young. So they're doing a lot of voting on their Instagram stories. So guys, head to Combat Night on Instagram. Make sure you vote. A lot of great stuff happening. So, yeah, we're going to run, guys. It was a great show with Mitchell Chamali. Great talk, over 40 minutes of just great stories, his future, and that Duval thing was just a roller coaster. So, big ups to everyone involved there at Combat Night. Just a fantastic, fantastic job. Woodburn got a win. Coslow with a win. The Ramon the Savage with that leg kick to the body. Just insane. Just monsters there underneath that umbrella. So, big ups to all you guys out there. All right, we're running. Make sure you download and subscribe, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and of course, YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel right now. Pause it. Okay, did you guys do it? Wait. Two more seconds. Okay. All right, now you subscribe. Thank you. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Our podcast number 200 is coming with Jillian the Savage Robertson. We are so excited for that. And guys, have a good day. Stay home and stay safe.